Today on Real Radio.
When you realize, oh my goodness, he loved me so much, he died on the cross for me, when that truth latches on to you and you can't get away from it, it compels you. And you have to tell people. Or you have to give money or spend time or get on your knees or whatever it is to get the word out. Why do you do that? Why do you do that? Why do you pay for this thing or go do that or pray like that? You know what you say to your friends who question you? I can't stop myself. I've got to get people to know or at least to hear the good news. That's a disciple. You see how there's some Christians who do that and some who don't do that? Some are disciples and some are not. Does God want all of us to be disciples? Of course. But history, church history, the Bible teaches, not all will choose to do that. And that's quite shocking to some people, but true nonetheless.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of Luke, and we'll be hearing a mini-series called How Jesus Builds a Church. We'll be examining Luke chapter 14 and verses 25 through 35. And the text contains words that have no resemblance to many of the words that are uttered to build a church today. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Jesus turns to this great crowd and thins out the crowd. He does the exact opposite. We would call this negative church growth tactics. Does he want people in heaven? Absolutely. But there's something very interesting going on here right now. You see the word disciple. Listen to this. The word disciple means to walk in the same steps. Jesus is saying, if you want to walk in the same steps that I walk in, you need to love me preeminently. The word means to live the same life. Disciple means to move the same way. The word means to mimic or copy. Have you ever seen a little kid, a little child copy his dad when his dad walks, or maybe his dad will blow his nose and the little kid will act like he's blown his nose? Have you ever seen a little girl? This is legendary. Little girls mimic their mother. What do they do to mimic mom? They put her shoes on, they put her dress on, they put whatever she's got on, and you hear those clickety-clackety heels down the hallway. That's the exact, you know, that child is being a disciple of mom. That's what it means. To walk in the same steps, to walk in the same shoes, to have this mimic in your mind. I'm going to be like her. I'm going to be like him. Listen, the word goes on to mean this, to be a copy of, to be reproducing after another. It's a relationship that exists between a journeyman and an apprentice. If you are a journeyman painter, what are you doing? You are teaching other painters as an apprentice to learn exactly how you do it. Donald Trump has his program, The Apprentice. What is that all about? To teach little people how to be like Donald. That's what the whole word means. We are to raise up children in the ways of the Lord. That presumes and presupposes that we are walking in the ways of the Lord. And by the way, kids will grow up to be like us no matter who we are. Our kids grow up to be like us. That's a scary thing, huh? I notice as I get older, I realize I see more of my dad in my life. Some of it's good and some of it's not so good. We won't talk about that now. We'll just keep moving on with the message. Jesus is saying regarding this word hate, it means that I am to occupy a place of absolute priority in your life, total preeminence in your heart and mind. You say, Jack, I don't like that. I understand that. That's why there'll be less seats, or I should say more seats available next Sunday after this message. You don't want to hear this stuff. Nobody wants to hear this stuff. And as I studied for this message and researched this message over the course of these last 3 days, looking at all this stuff, the conviction on my own heart because of where we're going. Jesus gave an incredible interpretation of two key verses of the Old Testament. The amazing thing to us, shouldn't be a surprise to us, but the amazing thing is regarding priority, this is what Jesus has to say. He literally gave a commentary in this teaching based upon Exodus 20, verse 3. And Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. Verse 3 is, you shall have no other gods before me. Listen, God says, this is it. No other gods before me. Number one question, do other gods exist? Of course they do. They do. I thought there was only one God, and I thought there was the God of the Bible. Of course there's only one God who's alive, who lives. But you and I can make gods any day now. What are you going to do after service? You going to go to Nordstrom's? You going to go to the car dealership? You going to go buy a house for $1.50 the way the price of homes are going? What are you going to do? Whatever it is, are you going to have a baby today? And that little baby? Oh, a baby, a baby. Listen, that's fantastic. You got to have a house. You got to have a car. You got to have babies. That's all great. But you need to love those things less than you love God. And when we don't do that, we get goofy. We wind up having little idols, little gods in our lives. We would never say that. Oh, look, this is my grandson. He's my God. And I understand that emotion. I understand that passion. That's wonderful. Should a grandfather dote over a granddaughter or grandson? That's precious. That's cute. But listen, the greatest thing, Grandpa, that you can do for that grandchild is to make sure that grandchild knows that God is the ultimate one in all the universe to be loved. And you tell your grandson growing up, you know what, buddy? There's no greater love in the world that you can direct your love toward than God. And that child grows up loving God, he'll love his grandpa. That child grows up loving God, and he'll love his fellow man. That grandchild growing up will love his country or his society. He'll even love those who hate him. You show that grandchild in loving God first, because you know what? You start loving God first, and all this natural stuff, like pus, comes out of us. That's pretty gross. Now, you'll remember that. Like, we're a big zit. And all this stuff comes out of us, and when that junk is out of us, that natural love that we have, just humanly speaking, which is this, I love those who love me. Anybody can love those who love them. Jesus said, anybody can do that, but love your enemies. That I cannot do. I can't do it. It's impossible. When all of me gets out, then his love gives me the power and the ability, which when it happens, I'm surprised. God, I have compassion on that guy I can't stand. What's that all about? Jack, that's me working in your life. God, how can you love that guy? Hey, I loved you, didn't I? Moving on, right? It's amazing. Do you know what it's like to be a Christian? You say, yes. Okay, then listen. If what I'm describing to you rings true to you, then listen. You are becoming a disciple. You'll hear more of this in a moment. It's quite shocking. Not only Exodus 20, verse 3, that you're to have no other gods before me, Jesus says, but Deuteronomy 6, 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your strength. That's what he's saying. He gives a New Testament answer to those two Old Testament challenges. This love for him prioritizes our life. And it's this, do I love God more than my boyfriend, more than my girlfriend, more than sex, more than drugs, more than success, more than the numbers? We're to love God most. Not only priority, but look, secondly, this love for him drives us. It's a propellant. Hey, when you really love God and you want to love God, now look, when I say when you really love God, when you really love God, there's a very strange emotional contradiction that takes place. You realize how much you don't love God when you really love God. Because when you say, God, I love you, you're awesome. The word sounds so hollow that you want them to mean more. My friend, you're in a great place if that's your heart. But this love for him drives us. Jesus says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple, verse 27. What is he saying there? A cross? Don't people die on a cross? Yep. See, what are you inviting me to do? Die? Sort of. Not physically. What good are you to God if you go blow yourself up? Okay, that may be big for Allah and his followers, but not for the God of the Bible. God wants you to live. He says, I've given you life. He says, choose life. He wants you to live. Well, then what about the cross? Forget about the cross. How about this? He says, take up your electric chair and follow me. Well, that doesn't help. It's a death instrument. That's my problem. What are you talking about? Jesus is talking about our self-desires, everything that dwells inside of us. That stuff that's like this. I want a bigger piece of the pie. I want to be the one that gets all the attention. I want to be the one up front. I want to have the... On and on it goes. It never stops with us. You say, Jack, that's not me. Maybe it's you, Pastor Jack, but it's not me. It is you. If we took a group picture right now of all these people, I guarantee you, to prove my point, you would be looking for you. First off, where am I? I am, there I am. And then you know when it's really heavy that we love ourselves too much is when we say, can we take that one over, please? I had my eyes closed. Have you noticed that? Why do we do that? Because we love ourselves so much. Jesus says, listen, you got to get off the throne and let me be on the throne, because to live life correctly and rightly is to have God first. And so, he says, I want you to bear your cross and come. And notice, Jesus didn't say, hey, I want you to pick up my cross for me, will you? Oh, no, this is a custom cross. Truly, it's a custom cross. God says to the Christian, if you're going to come and follow me, you got to pick up your cross. And I just let you in at a key thing about this study that we'll look at this week and next week. Jesus says to the Christian, pick up your cross and follow me. He does invite every Christian to come and be his disciple. You say, wait a minute, isn't every Christian a disciple? Oh, no. Why do you assume that? Don't get me wrong. If you're a Christian today, if you're trusting that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again from the dead, and you're trusting in him to get you to heaven, you're a Christian. But some Christians spend their whole life just there. They never move out from that point. Jesus is saying, hey, you guys, you're announcing that you're a believer, that you're a Christian? Right on. Now, you want to follow me? You want to go the direction I'm going? I invite you to come. But count the cost. There's a cross involved. What does that mean? If you come and follow me, people are going to hate you. Even in church. Christians are going to attack you. Non-Christians and Christians. I'm going to ask you to do things, God is saying. I'm going to ask you to do things and you won't like it. Think before you come. I'm going to invite you to say this or to do the other thing. See, this is a hard message. You say, well, Pastor, I'm getting kind of confused, nervous. I don't know. Am I a Christian or I'm not a Christian? Do you believe Jesus died for you on the cross? Yeah. Then you're a Christian. But do you want to grow in your walk with God? Yes. Then you are asking and you are responding to his invitation to come and be a disciple. Jesus simply says, basically, you don't have to if you don't want to. But if you come, there are conditions. You walk in my shoes and you move the way I move and you wear the bracelet or the t-shirt that says, what would Jesus do? Because that's for disciples. You count the cost. This drives us because we want to be like him. The Bible says in Romans 6, verse 10, for the death that Jesus died, he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he now lives, he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead. That word reckon, we could say, likewise, you also crucify or electrocute yourselves. The old nature, all the stuff that's about me. God says, set that off to the side. C.S. Lewis wrote, no one can be a disciple of Jesus Christ while seeking to live a life of ease and comfort here and now. Why? How can he say that? Because Jesus didn't live a life of ease and comfort. Will there be days of ease and comfort? Yes. But will it be a lifestyle of ease and comfort? No. To bear the cross, it's my cross. And you have your cross. He said, well, in what context? Where do I bear this cross? If today, all of us, assuming for a moment, I know it's not true, but let's say all of us are Christians in this room today, there may be 10% of you that would say, okay, I want to branch out from just being a Christian. I'm going to heaven. I got that part down. I want to make a difference in this world. You are saying, sign me up. I want to be a disciple. God will call you and you specifically to be a follower of His wherever you wherever you're at, whatever occupation or calling you're in. And here's what it is. God says this and you say it. God does this and you do it. It's a life that my will is sacrificed. His will is exalted. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when." When, that's a condition. You'll seek me and you'll find me. Only after or when you have searched for me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. Wow. That's conditional. Who finds the Lord in the depths of what God wants to say, speak, and do? Only those who will pursue Him. A Christian can live a life. In fact, I'll give you an example. Are you guys all listening? Check this out. This is pretty cool. Think of the thief on the cross. Was he baptized? No. Did he lead anybody to Christ? No. Did he serve in any ministry? No. Didn't Jesus say to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise"? Yes. Was the guy saved? He was saved because he became a Christian, and moments after he dies, he was never a disciple. How do you know? Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, we'll look at it next week, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit." You go do that. That man didn't go do that. A lot of people don't go do that. You don't have to go do exactly that. But you can be a Christian, be going to heaven, and never be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's my prayer, that those who attend this church would be the ones who would say, "I want to be a disciple." Jesus would say, "Right on, but count the cost." And that's what this message is all about. Look at this. Thirdly, it's this: by laying a foundation of love, this love for Him constrains us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For the love of Christ constrains or compels us." This is a tremendous statement, because if we really love God, Jesus is saying right here, right now, you pick up the cross and you come and follow me, or you can't be my disciples. You say, "Man, I can't do that on my own." But this is what it means. This love for Him constrains us, and it means this, that what you and I do for Christ, we need to be compelled. Allow it in your mind to look like this. Putting on a jet pack or a propeller, or having some sort of propulsion system. Because God sent His Son to the cross to die for you and I to go to heaven, that the world can be saved through Christ Jesus and what He did. Number one, I accept that message. I'm a Christian. Now, number two, I choose now, I desire to get that word out to the world also. I want to be part of this. I want to tell people. That drive, that constraining is the Lord's love, understanding He loves me so much. Church, I hope all of you could say, "God loves me so much. He's crazy about me." The Christian knows this. Look, we know we're not perfect. We know we fail. We know that we can be an absolute stinker. But we love Him. Why do we love Him? Because He first loved who? Us. When you realize, "Oh my goodness, He loved me so much, He died on the cross for me," when that truth latches on to you and you can't get away from it, it compels you. And you have to tell people. Or you have to give money or spend time or get on your knees or whatever it is to get the word out. Why do you do that? Why do you do that? Why do you pay for this thing or go do that or pray like that? You know what you say to your friends who question you? "I can't stop myself. I've got to get people to know, or at least to hear the good news." That's a disciple. You see how there's some Christians who do that and some who don't do that? Some are disciples and some are not. Does God want all of us to be disciples? Of course. But history, church history, the Bible teaches, not all will choose to do that. And that's quite shocking to some people, but true nonetheless. Point number two, and we're only going to go to the second point. We have 4 points. We'll only do this point today. Second point, how Jesus Christ builds a church is by asking for a commitment. By asking for a commitment? Verses 28 to 30. This cracks me up. Everybody, listen, everyone can ask of us a commitment. Think about it. But have God ask us for a commitment, and we get all goofy. Well, you know, that's kind of legalistic. I don't know, I'll have to pray about it. Really, did you pray about getting cable TV? So what does that have to do with anything? Didn't you sign a contract of commitment? Do you have a credit card? Woe unto you. No, I'm kidding. Do you have a credit card? When you sign that credit card, did you see there's like 3 sheets of paper and incredibly fine print so small that you can't even read it, and the attorneys made sure you couldn't read it, it was such a fine print? Why? Because if you read it, you wouldn't sign for the credit card. Have you ever had a surgery or a procedure that's kind of serious and the doctor comes in, they say, will you sign this? What is this? Well, this says that you have a will. I was asked that last week. I had a procedure done on me and they said, will you sign here? I go, what is this I'm signing here? It says, we need to know if you have a will. So what are you going to do to me? You sign a commitment. You buy a house? Have you bought a car? Sign here. You're making a commitment. Husbands and wives to be, come down this aisle, right here. He stands there, she comes down, everybody's happy, it's all cool. They come up, and I say things like this: are you ready today to make this commitment to this man for the rest of your life, until death do you part? A, she will say, yes. Either she has counted the cost and made the decision, or she doesn't have a clue of what I'm talking about. She doesn't know what it means. I said commitment. Commitment.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called How Jesus Builds a Church. It's actually a mini-series within our series through the Gospel of Luke, taken from chapter 14 and verses 25 through 35. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, last Thursday, we interrupted our daily study through this New Testament narrative to bring you a very special broadcast for a very special day, and we hope that you were able to tune into that. If not, you can go online. But here's Pastor Jack with a message in light of that. Pastor Jack?
Mike, on November 11th, which was Veterans Day, we made a special offer to all of our listeners, and we want to make sure that everyone has a chance to secure their own copy of this amazing DVD teaching that took place right here at Calvary Chapel. And I'm talking about, of course, the offer of General William Boykin's amazing message that he gave here at Calvary, which dramatically affected my life personally. And I think it's a message for everyone, not just for those who are in armed services today defending our faith, our families, and our freedom. But this message is strategic, in my opinion, for the Christian body today. General Boykin is a legend in our modern-day forces. He was one of the founding fathers of the U.S. Army's Delta Force team. He was a commander of the Special Forces for the U.S. Army, as well commander of all Green Beret operations. Over 30 years serving the United States in the U.S. Army, General Boykin delivers a message that I believe every Christian has to hear, but I'm thinking specifically right now how powerful it would be if you could secure a copy of this for yourself and get it into the hands of someone that you know who may be out there or heading out there into harm's way, because it will embolden your faith. It will strengthen you. And if it does that to you, how much more for those who need strengthening at a time like this, who are going out to defend our faith, our family, and freedom. So you can get your own copy by going to realradioactive.org. That's one big word, realradioactive.org. Or you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. And listen, this is going to be sent to you for a gift of any amount. And we mean that sincerely. This message has got to get into your heart and into your walk. God bless you.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.